Pharmacy Podcast Nation, Happy New Year. T.S. Eliot once said, "For last year's words belong to last year's language, and next year's words await another voice. And to make an end is to make a beginning." 2020, it's a new decade. Take control of your career, take control of your industry. If you're a pharmacist and you're listening to this podcast, you must be involved in the reform that's needed within pharmacy benefit management. Please take a listen and share the series, PBM Reform Podcast Series. It's on the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Here's to an amazing 2020.
This is the ACMA podcast. Career opportunities for pharmacists in the pharmaceutical industry have never been better. Are you interested in breaking into the industry? It can be competitive. You must distinguish yourself. The Accreditation Council for Medical Affairs, or the ACMA, offers the only specialized board certification for healthcare professionals to help prepare them for roles such as medical science liaison, medical director, drug information experts, and more. The Board Certified Medical Affairs Specialists, or BCMAS program, is an online, self-paced program recognized worldwide as the industry standard and has been featured on the Pharmacy Podcast Network, Forbes, ABC News, The Pharmaceutical Executive, and Yahoo Finance. Become a Board Certified Medical Affairs Specialist and build your professional brand. Learn more. Go to medicalaffairsspecialist.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Millennial Pharma Leader Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Pike, and with me today is Ben Penley and Smit Patel. This is part two of our Founders Panel series. So we're going to dive right into audience questions in this part two edition, since we had so many great submissions from folks on LinkedIn and Instagram. So I'll turn it over to Smit. Smit, what was our next audience question?
Sure. I think we had so many amazing questions and can't wait to ask. So first one was from David Vu. He wanted to know, what was the triggering point that made all of us create Millennial Pharma Leaders or MPL platform?
Yeah, that's a great question. I like that question. So whenever Jeff sort of approached me with this idea, we had both recognized that there was this unmet need at our school, and we thought that that there wasn't enough attention, at least within the curriculum, we thought, on these non-traditional careers, specifically within industry. And so we wanted to create this centralized location for people to learn about opportunities that existed within the industry, for both ourselves to learn more ourselves, and then also for our classmates and people, you know, beyond that as well. And I think that what we really wanted to do was sort of level the playing field and make sure that everyone, no matter the extracurriculars at your school, you know, some schools aren't fortunate enough to have an IPHO chapter or AMCP chapter and don't really get that exposure. We wanted to make sure that everyone early on in their PharmD careers had the opportunity to see what was out there for them and make an informed decision on where they want to take their career.
Yeah, that's well put, Ben. Just kind of echoing some of the things you said, It was like we talked about, there's this focus in most pharmacy schools just on clinical and community pharmacy opportunities and not so much coverage of all there is to do in industry. And I think just the opportunities are so broad and diverse and each reasonably complex enough in their own right to kind of warrant a whole deep dive into each functional area. Since PharmDs work pretty much across most departments in a given drug development company.
I completely agree with both of you, and you guys perfectly painted a picture on how pharmacists are working in every field, and we don't get all the experience necessary in the school. And I think that was one of the whys that triggered us to create MPLs, and it resonates so well with it. So great. I had another interesting question that came up from Mudit Verma. The question was, what would we advise to applicants of residencies and or fellowships pertaining to managed care pharmacy that do not receive any offer, say, for example, a residency or a fellowship for the upcoming cycle, but would like to apply for next year? So what opportunities these folks can do in meantime to boost their chances for the next application cycle?
Yeah, I can start off and then I'll pass it over to you, Sumit. I think that a few big recommendations would be to make sure that you're staying in contact with your network, and you know, don't burn those bridges, because a lot of the people that you know and that you've come to know through your 4 years at PharmD are going to be within that field and can connect you with those opportunities in the future. I think another one would be looking for an entry-level position in a relevant field. It doesn't have to be within industry. It can be sort of a peripheral industry. As long as you can, shape it in a way that this experience and what you've been doing in the past year is in some way applicable to what you want to do, then I think you're setting yourself up pretty well.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Ben. And I completely agree. Keeping in touch with the network and staying engaged with the topic is really important and necessary to be a strong candidate for the next application cycle. What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, in addition to what Ben said, just keep working on building your soft skills, creating small opportunities for yourself, look into those entry-level roles, even if you don't successfully secure a postdoctoral position, there are entry-level roles available, usually in medical information, sometimes regulatory affairs, and I'm sure there are others. If you are keeping your ear to the ground well enough, you kind of have to just keep at it, find something to do in the meantime, even if that is taking a community or clinical job. All experiences kind of build your story. All right, so moving on to our next question. Tony Dow asks, if you could have any other career, what would it be?
That's a good question. Yeah, I think that for me, I don't know if everybody knows this, but I was a creative writing minor in college and with a fiction focus. So I think either a writer of fiction or an editor. And I actually interned at an editor in undergrad to see if I wanted to do that. And pharmacy won out. But yeah,
nice.
That's what I would be doing.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I'd have to shoot for the stars here and say movie star, because why not? Maybe if this was an alternate reality, I could go with that and enjoy that whole lifestyle. But no, in this life, I have kind of flirted with the idea of a retirement career, after I finish my work in industry and settling down and becoming a writer or a novelist of some sort.
Jeff, what genre would you have movies in?
Oh my goodness. I wouldn't have any issues with being typecast, whatever keeps the people happy. But probably scary movies, that seems like the easiest acting.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
You fit the bill of an action star, I think.
Oh, no. No,
no, it's an insult.
What about you, Smith? What about you? What would you be?
Oh, having doctor and in parents, and if I say fashion design, you know.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Nice.
I always was a creative kid and had a minor in design, so I would have gone into routes of designing. It would have been maybe redesigning problems into opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that would be my gig if I was not in healthcare.
Oh, really, really nice. Cool.
What sort of did you make any or design any anything in your past?
Yeah, I used to actually design my clothes.
Oh no way!
Wow.
Yeah, I actually designed two shoes and a couple of clothes for myself, not to experiment on someone else and get.
So now you're about ready to design drugs, right? That's the last one, next step.
I think that's the goal: design new innovative drugs.
Oh my gosh!
All right, that's great. So. Next question we have here is from Cece Tran. Her question is, how do I best prepare or present myself against so many other competitive students?
This is a tough one, right? And very timely since, at least with pharmacy, there's a lot of schools, there are a lot of students, and a lot of them will have pretty similar backgrounds if they're also applying to the pharmaceutical industry. My philosophy on this kind of big picture has always been to think about, you know, well, what are the things that basically every student's going to have on their CV? What experiences are they going to have? And what kind of opportunities can I find that are different from everyone else's that would bring value to this role? So I've kind of purposefully tried to take the path less trodden, I think. And I definitely can't confirm or deny whether that's the right path to take, since I haven't been, I haven't interviewed folks yet for these roles. But my intuition is that, you know, stuff like engaging with MPL and showing from, you know, an early time point that you're interested in this industry, that you have some level of thought leadership, or at least, you know, intellectual curiosity about the events and the issues involved in that space. I think those will position you as a candidate. And then obviously, work experience is really great and hard to get in some places if you don't have connections with your alumni base, but you know, it's always possible to find opportunities one way or another. And I don't know, what do you guys think? I know everyone stresses out about poster presentations and stuff like that, but I think, you know, that's really just important for specific roles, like maybe medical affairs or clinical development, more of these sort of research intensive positions, maybe health economics and outcomes research. They like to see some sort of related publication experience there. But other than that, I think it's really about how unique can you make your story.
Yeah, I think it's the story is really the key word there. I think even if you have a lot of disparate experiences that don't really seem to work together, I think you can still make a story out of it. And maybe being selective with what you include in your CV, but I think crafting a story around the position you're applying for will make you stand out as a candidate. It's really that collection of experiences more so than any one experience on its own.
Right. I think that, you know, it's important to know your story, like I said in the last episode, and kind of like what you're emphasizing, Ben, but, you know, just be authentic too. Be the real you, and that kind of helps shine through and find the things that are unique about you that will help people, you know, interviewers remember you.
Yeah, you guys said really well, and absolutely completely agree. Echoing back, as Jeff, you mentioned, think creatively and think about those opportunities and experiences that are different from rest of your classmates or people who have done, like, everyone goes to pharmacy school, everyone has some kind of work experience, but what are those kind of experiences that students can develop, which they can tell and thread into form of a strong story, and show the outcome of some of the problems they solved at work or some kind of project they did, and how it is going to impact, which is translatable, would be really important. So great stuff. And we had another question from Ethan. When you go to conference sessions, what is the value in sitting by yourself and striking up conversations with someone next to you rather than sitting next to your classmates?
Yeah, I can take this one. I think that, you know, I've only been to one conference, so I'll take this advice how you will. But I think that, you know, some of my most memorable moments at the conference were when I would sort of branch off from my classmates and go talk with people that I didn't really know. I think that the buddy program is a great way to do that if you're maybe a little bit hesitant to sit by yourself, just to meet someone in a different field and to get exposure to that and to learn a little about what they do, to see if you could potentially be interested. I think just maybe if you're a little later on in your career, you know, meeting other people is a spice of life. It's exciting just to meet other people and learn about new perspectives. I do think also there is some benefit in just sitting next to your classmates. I think that seeing your classmates in a professional environment is something unique that you wouldn't get just from just being at school with them. And that can really help develop relationships that you already have. So I think there's benefit to both.
Yeah. And just to follow up with you, Ben, those are good points. And, you know, either way, you might have different value. And I think this really boils down to when you go to something as large as a national conference, it's good to go in with goals, because, you know, if you kind of just go in without a plan, you'll quickly be overwhelmed by how much there is there. I mean, Nexus, you had 3 or 4 different educational tracks running concurrently, and you can't attend everything at once. So you kind of have to look at the agenda beforehand and figure out, you know, what you want to learn. But even beyond education, you know, is networking a priority for you? So if you're really focused on meeting as many potential colleagues as possible and potential future employers at this conference, make it a point to always sit apart from classmates and put yourself in those environments to meet as many people as possible. Because let's face it, if you just go around the conference in your group of classmates from the same school, you're not going to meet nearly as many people as if you were just wandering around on your own and introducing yourself otherwise. Whereas if your goal was to, you know, focus in on that session and education, then you might be better off sitting with classmates.
I think, Jeff, you brought a really, really important, a good point of setting goals for conferences. I think, I have seen a lot of students do not, and what AMCP has done a really good job is providing us an agenda, and setting up goals would help in terms of what sessions you want to go, how do you want to break up your time to network, going to residency and fellowship showcase, meeting new people, and also meeting people in your field you want to connect with. So I think it's really important to have goals going to a conference as well. And thanks for touching up on that.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Ethan Haydorn, for the question.
Yeah. And the last question we'll have here on the podcast is, what are your personal aspirations?
Good question. So in terms of my personal career aspirations, I've thought about this long and hard, and obviously founding MPL, I think has given all of us a lot of great context and insight into what each of these different functional areas have to offer, and help us determine whether or not that's what we want to pursue in our careers. I think for me at this stage, you know, for the longest time, I was dead set on a pharmaceutical industry fellowship. I'm kind of at the point where I've had a strong amount of internships and experience, and I'm more interested in breadth versus depth in my career development, just because I know I'm more commercially oriented. And I think that being an adaptive problem solver is really what I'm focused on. And when I say that, I mean touching a lot of different therapeutic areas. And really, if I'm doing any specializing, it's in a functional area to begin with, such as market access or business development. So for the longest time, I thought I would pursue a fellowship in market access or business development and licensing, or something more just generally commercial development, since there are a few more generalized fellowships like that. At this point, I'm kind of at a stage where if I can direct hire into a role, I would probably go down that route just to hit the ground running with full-time work experience. I feel like, I've kind of had the training wheels on for long enough. And you know, that's not necessarily the right path for folks who do want to focus in on a specific therapeutic area or something that's really more clinically intensive, like medical affairs or a more research-oriented field. Or even health economics and outcomes research, you need more specialized training for that. But right now, what I'm really looking at is direct hiring into life science consulting. I think they have really strong direct hire opportunities there, aligned with my interests. My plan as of now is to work in pharmaceutical consulting for a few years, and then transition into pharma, potentially find an employer who would sponsor an MBA, and then return to a company and become a general manager in the industry. So that's sort of my maybe 5 or 10 year plan.
Yeah, so my plan is a little more short term. I need to figure out, I know I want to do a fellowship. I know that I feel like I still need those training wheels a bit. To use your language, Jeff.
Sure.
But I just feel like there's a lot more for me personally to learn. Since I've only really had one summer internship into industry. So I think I'm either looking at medical affairs or regulatory affairs. So I need to decide on that. I need to hopefully learn a lot in my fourth year in the appies that I'll hopefully get some opportunities within those fields. But beyond fellowship, you know, I don't know. I think it'll really depend on which functional area I end up going into. But, you know, geographically, I do want to end up back in North Carolina eventually. And there are opportunities in North Carolina. The RTP has a lot of a big industry presence.
That
I could see working remotely. So, yeah.
That's the Research Triangle Park, for those who don't know, which
is kind
of
that.
Right there in the middle of all the educational institutions in North Carolina. It's University of North Carolina, North Carolina State University, and Duke University. So there's a good cluster of biotech down here with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those are my aspirations.
Great. Thanks for sharing, Ben.
I can say that both of you would be great at what you're looking for. Jeff in consultancy field, you're going to kill it. In fellowship, you are going to make a huge difference.
How can we fail when we have a leader like you? Yeah.
Talking about mine, I think I'm looking something opportunity in terms of future of healthcare, and I want to stay closer at the cutting edge of healthcare and technology. So I'm aspiring to take a lead in digital health initiatives or departments in pharma industry or pharma companies, because they are just starting to invest more on digital therapeutics, technologies that are shaping the future of healthcare, and I have always been fascinated by the mysteries and the problems that have not been solved. So I think my short-term goal, I wouldn't confine myself to a fellowship, maybe a commercial route fellowship, but potentially looking for maybe creating one in the digital health space or starting out with a company in the department who is working in the space of digital health initiatives. And long term, I would say I would move into more health tech companies from the consumer side, like the Google's health department called Verily, Watson Health, or Next for Microsoft would be ideal. But who knows, working with venture capital or starting my own startup someday.
Oh, that's really cool, Smit. I think, you know, the horizons are broad, and I think we'll continue to see health become more digital. So it's a good focus area to hone in on for you. Great. Well, thank you everyone for listening. I think we got through most of our audience questions today. If we missed you, please feel free to reach out to us, and we'll find a way to incorporate it in a future podcast episode. It's been a pleasure. I hope that, you know, us sharing a little bit about our personal aspirations kind of helps some of you perhaps get the wheels turning about what kind of career plans you want to set up for yourself. If any of ours sounded particularly interesting to you, please reach out, and I think Ben and Smit and myself would be happy to chat about it and help you figure out what's right for you. So again, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. We're looking forward to sharing with you guys again.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thank you so much. Stay in tune with MPL.
Adios.
We thank you for listening to the ACMA podcast, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. To learn more about medical affairs and new career opportunities, please go to acmapodcast.com.